Cheap internet, plus the updated funding picture and the battle over the right to abortion. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There's news this morning of a plan to connect more people to high-speed internet. It's driven by the new infrastructure law, and 20 internet providers will participate. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has the details.
Under the program, low-income households are eligible for a $30 a month subsidy to pay for high-speed internet. The subsidy is $75 a month on tribal lands. Big companies like AT&T, Verizon, and Comcast, as well as smaller regional internet service providers, will participate in the program by either lowering their prices or increasing the speed of their internet service, ensuring they all offer high-speed internet for no more than $30 a month to households that qualify for the subsidy. The White House says these companies cover more than 80% of the U.S. population. People who are already enrolled in programs like Medicaid or Pell Grants are automatically eligible for the subsidy. You can also qualify if your income is below 200% of the federal poverty level, which for most states is around $52,000 for a family of four. You can sign up on a new website called getinternet.gov. The White House estimates that 48 million households will qualify. That's almost 40% of all households in the U.S. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Today, new data feeding into the narrative that growth could slow for the world economy. China's exports last month grew at their slowest rate since early pandemic. Stock indicators on this Monday are pointing down sharply. NASDAQ futures are down 2%. S&P futures are down 1.6%. Dow futures down 536 points, 1.6% now. Dollar very high, which makes U.S. exports harder to sell, but which delights U.S. travelers. A euro costs $1.05. The dollar's up at 6.72 Chinese yuan.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Abortion rights groups Planned Parenthood, NARAL, and Emily's List had said they'd spend $150 million in nine key states ahead of this year's midterms, more than double their 2020 election spending, and that was before the leaked draft opinion indicating the Supreme Court is set to rescind the right to abortion in America. Data from nonprofit Open Secrets also show anti-abortion groups have ramped up spending in recent years, although that side typically spends less. I'm joined by Mary Ziegler, a visiting professor at the Harvard Law School. She has a book on the way with the title Dollars for Life, the Anti-Abortion Movement and the Fall of the Republican Establishment. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
When you look at the numbers broad brush, it appears like the abortion rights groups are doing a lot more spending than the anti-abortion groups are this time around. Is that your sense, too?
It is my sense, too, and it accords with what we know historically, which is that abortion rights groups tend to do well in moments of crisis. A lot of people couldn't believe there would be a moment when the Supreme Court would reverse Roe. And when those moments seem to come, there's often a tremendous amount of money that pours into abortion rights groups, elections for candidates who could support abortion rights. So this is in keeping with what we'd expect.
Now, anti-abortion groups have certainly been spending and dedicating resources, perhaps not as much this year compared to the other side, but it's certainly been an enduring campaign where money has changed hands.
Absolutely. And one of the more interesting things I think about the anti-abortion side is that they've been pretty sophisticated, not just in raising money for themselves, but they've helped to pilot some of the campaign finance strategies we see unfolding. Nonprofits, dark money, some of the major players in the fight against campaign finance laws have been in the anti-abortion movement. So I think if you're looking at that story, it goes beyond just the numbers you see coming into the major anti-abortion groups.
Anti-abortion groups have been very astute at financing state and local elections, perhaps with a greater focus than abortion rights groups, do you think?
I think that's absolutely fair. I mean, I think if you look at where the action has been, in abortion politics in recent decades, it's really been in the states. And then if you look at where sometimes you see dollars focused and messaging focused on the pro-choice side or the abortion rights side, it tends to be on national races. So I think they've been kind of out-organized and out-strategized in the money race and in the kind of broader politics race at the state level. And we've seen the fruits of that really since the 2010 midterms, when Republicans took control of so many state legislatures for the first time and used those state legislatures as sort of laboratories for new restrictive abortion policies.
Does spending correlate with outcomes?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think there's been an advantage on the pro-choice side usually in spending, and yet here we are where Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned. Now, obviously, Roe v. Wade being overturned has to do with lots of things beyond spending, so it's an oversimplification to say that spending doesn't work. At the same time, I think we've seen that in some instances, politicians are catering here to what they perceive to be the voters who care the most about this issue, the voters who actually pick candidates based on their views on abortion rather than the kind of median voter who's probably more likely to support abortion rights, but may not ultimately care as much. So sometimes it's hard for, I think, especially for the abortion rights side, to translate those dollars into action, into votes. And the question really, I think, now is when we're at a point of sort of existential crisis for the abortion rights side, where states are moving toward, you know, not just criminalizing the actions of doctors, maybe the actions of patients, maybe defining abortion really broadly. Is that a turning point, right? Can then those dollars actually translate into something more than they have in recent decades?
Mary Ziegler, visiting professor at the Harvard Law School. Her forthcoming book is titled Dollars for Life, the Anti-Abortion Movement and the Fall of the Republican Establishment. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Still looking at these stock indicators, kind of crashy. Dow futures are down 536 points, 1.6%. It's Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.